Hebrews chapter 12, and we've been using a passage here, a portion of scripture here, as a springboard to these messages. Pardon me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The reference here is to chapter 11 and the cloud of witnesses of our brothers and sisters and centuries gone by and millennia gone by, and their faith in the Lord and how that empowered them, how that helped them to accomplish those things, to honor their Lord, to honor our Lord, to be a good witness of Him. And then our attention is turned from the cloud of witnesses at hand to the faithful witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, as Jesus did. Verse number 3, this is our springboard for these messages. This will be the third message that we've preached. For consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we took a look in the book of Romans and saw in Romans chapter 3 that the unbelief of man, even the unbelief of those in the Lord's nation, does not compromise in any way the faithfulness of our God. He is faithful in every way. And has brought so great salvation. How? Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 22 there in Romans 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, His faithfulness unto all and upon all them that believe in Him. For there's no difference. There's no one saved any other way than by the faithfulness and the righteousness of Christ. We have faith in Him because He was faithful. We turn our attention this morning to Philippians chapter 3, another passage, and this whole theme is dealing with our righteousness and the righteousness of Christ, faith that sinners have unto salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ because He is a faithful Savior. He is a faithful Son. He is that faithful Redeemer that Brother Stephen mentioned this morning, that Brother Job has now seen, and one day in his flesh will stand before God. In Philippians chapter 3, in this book to the church at Philippi, there in Macedonia and there north of the Aegean Sea, between Asia Minor and on the way to Greece, up there on the north, the Apostle Paul working there. A theme that we see in this book of Ephesians or Philippians to this church at Philippi in that first chapter is the fellowship in the gospel. The fellowship in the gospel. We've touched upon that in recent times. In chapter 2, he speaks about the consolation. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort, any fellowship of the Spirit. And we see that fellowship again mentioned there. He says, walk with the Lord. Have the mind of Christ within us. Verse number 5. And take a look at Jesus again. He didn't think it to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's what we need to do. We need to give of ourselves and living for our Lord. We need to submit to Him and to be used up for His sake. Because of that, because of Jesus, what Jesus did, He's been highly exalted, verse 9. And you know what? Because of that, every knee's going to bow to Him because He's been faithful. We come to chapter 3. I'll be honest with you right off the bat. In chapter 3, it's a real ugly picture that's painted. But it needs to be. It needs to be brought forth unto us. I tell you what, it's a wide, wide contrast that's at hand in chapter 3. But we need to understand about our righteousness and the righteousness of Christ and how far they're separated. We yet again, because it's been for mankind all along since the beginning, we live in a day where there are those, and we even ourselves have thought that our righteousness amounted to something, but it does not. It does not. So the apostle is reminding the church at Philippi, reminding us again about how it is with our righteousness, the best that we've got on our best day, and how that compares to the righteousness of Christ. The need of the righteousness of Christ. Why? How is it that Jesus is righteous? He was faithful. He's faithful in every way. And so we're going to see that about in this passage. Verse number 9 is our target in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. And be found in him, and they're in the middle of the thought, and we'll catch up on that, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, his faithfulness, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's interesting, the last part of that verse, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I wonder if there's not maybe a double meaning there. The righteousness which is of God by the faithfulness of Christ, and the righteousness of God that's imputed to the sinner because of his faith in the faithful Christ. We see here in verse number 1, he's signing off and he's wanting to remind them yet of this thing, the ugliness of man's righteousness and that. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you, to me indeed is not grievous. He's writing to them again about this because we need continually reminded about it. We always need to have that the understanding about our own fleshly righteousness put in check continually. And that's not to say that the child of God, the one who is saved, cannot have righteousness and obedience to God, because that's commanded of the Lord to be. But let us never trust in ourselves and in our works and what we have done to make us acceptable before God. Our works have not done so. It's the righteousness of Christ that has done so. He says, it's not grievous for me to give you these things and tell you these things. Again, it's very safe, but for you it is safe. Here's the picture. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. He sets it up right here, and the apostle knows where he's going. Of course, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He gives this picture of dogs, and we know about dogs. What does the Scripture say? And I tell you what, it's a gross affair. Dogs lick up their own vomit, don't they? Dogs are out by the trash heap. Dogs are looking to get in to any kind of food that is there. They don't care who's eating it. Dogs don't care if another animal has eaten it. Dogs don't care if it's rotted or spoiled. Dogs don't care. Dogs will even eat up things that will make them sick, and to where they will vomit that out again. I mean, I'm not down on dogs this morning, but I tell you what, there's a picture that's here that needs to be understood. And a good pet is a good thing, but a dog has those tendencies and that nature indeed. He also says here, beware of evil workers. He lumps them into the same group. They're there together. Evil workers taking and looking to change the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Lord willing, we'll get into the book of Galatians and see about the issue that's brought forth there. Paul has seen this, and if you'll make a note, you can go back to Acts chapter 15 and even a little bit before that, but Acts 15 really brings it out. He said, I've dealt with these before that want to change the gospel of Christ and the way of salvation. They want to bring in the works of men to fulfill salvation or to confirm or complete salvation. He said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. This word concision is talking about the cutting off. It also refers to that of mutilation. The mutilation of the body. He says, beware of them. Beware of these dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, the cutting off, those that want to mutilate. He says, beware of them. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Evil workers. Beware of dogs. He's not talking about four-legged animals. He's talking about those that want to delve into things that are just gross and wicked. How it is that taking away glory from the Lord Jesus Christ is a gross and wicked affair. Beware of evil workers that want to pull down and blaspheme the glory of the Lord and His great salvation and great operation and way. Beware of the cutting off. Beware of the mutilators. Beware of them. For we are of the circumcision, verse number 3, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And hear that. We do rejoice in Christ Jesus. Do you rejoice in yourself? Or do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? I tell you what, the sinner that has been saved, has his heart right before God, rejoices in Christ Jesus. He is my Savior. He is your Savior. And His name is Jesus, the name given to Him, His name on the earth. He is our Redeemer, the Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, our Savior indeed. And we rejoice in Him. We are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. When it comes to this of salvation of the soul, there's no confidence in the flesh. Our flesh and nothing that can come out of our flesh can do anything. No confidence in it. No confidence in it. The flesh is sinful. The flesh is wicked. The flesh is far away from God. The carnal mind, the Scripture says, is enmity with God. Now let me declare this, and it's a message for another time. But you and I do live in this flesh, being saved. And the Scripture does declare that being saved and having the Spirit of God within, we have much help and many promises regarding walking with our Lord and being able to serve Him and be obedient to Him and be used of Him in this life. And you know how it is that you do? You do it in your flesh. We do so in our flesh. I think, and I believe I've run into those that understand about this, about the confidence in the flesh, having no confidence in the flesh. In regards to salvation, indeed, we have no confidence in the flesh. In regards to service of our Lord, we have no confidence in the flesh and the ability of the flesh. But you know what? Being saved by the power of God, this whole flesh can be used for the honor and glory of God. So what I'm saying is, don't stay here in that condemnation of sin and the inability of the flesh and that view that is indeed needed for the salvation of the soul to bring one unto repentance in that. But you've been saved, you've been set at liberty, you've been rescued. Understand that the power of God is at hand to help you go forward and work and do for our Lord. Is depression and sorrow for sin unto repentance unto salvation a fruit of the Spirit? You see what I'm saying? We're to move on. We're not there. Whenever we take in the Scriptures and the Lord shows us indeed, when we think about what we've been saved from, we know it was a miserable state. But we're not to live there, brothers and sisters. We're to know that that is true. But we are called unto liberty, unto joy in our Lord, and to service unto Him by His power. But in regards to salvation, the subject at hand, We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he said, let me tell you what I used to think. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. What advantage does the Jew have? Well, we saw it. They received the oracles of God. And that's what was being followed by the apostle. As best as he could, as best as he was taught, he followed the law, and his parents and his grandparents and those of his family, oh, they saw to it from a young age that he was obedient to the law of God. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, he's of the nation, of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin, the one most loved by Jacob. That could be the hold and the tale of the Benjamites. Oh, Joseph was loved. But Dad, Jacob really loved us. Really loved Benjamin. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. I tell you what, when the Jews, the Hebrews would look on, they'd say, in Saul of Tarsus, there's none better. As touching the law, a Pharisee. That was the sect that I belonged to. As you and I know, with the Pharisees, there's no other sect to belong to than the Pharisee sect. Top drawer. Top notch. The Sadducees were sad because they weren't Pharisees. That's what Saul would have said. Concerning zeal, here it is, persecuting the church. You want to talk about zeal? I persecuted the church of God. Hold your place here and turn quickly over to Galatians chapter 1 as he speaks to our brethren, to us over here in this book. He declares here in chapter 1 of Galatians, verse number 13, for you have heard of my conversation, my thinking, my speech, and what I did in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. To talk about zeal, that was my zeal, he said. He said, I persecuted the Lord's church and I wasted it and destroyed it. He was ignorant in it. He tells in other places in the Scripture that he did it in ignorance and the Lord was merciful to him. Isn't that something? That the man put the saints to death. That the man got in the midst of churches there in that region of Judea and maybe even beyond, as we know he was going to Damascus when the Lord arrested him. And he killed them. He tore them up. He busted them up. And the Lord saved him and forgave him for that. You think you're a bad sinner? Well, I tell you what, you are. You're a bad sinner. Paul was a bad sinner too. And the Lord saved him. The Lord can save you. He says here, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. There was none of the elders in Israel that could say that I was at fault in the law in any wise. What's he say? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Debits and credits. I'm a Benjamite. I'm a Benjamite and I claim it. Check for me. Nothing over here for Christ. If being a Benjamite makes me better, Christ is pushed away. In Hebrew of the Hebrews, check for me. Takes Christ and the necessity of Christ and pushes him away. Trusting in my circumcision, being right on time according to the law, the study that I had with the prophets and the teachers of that day, I am somebody because I've been there. Check for me. Does nothing in regards to Christ. I claim these things, he said, as a Pharisee, as a Hebrew, as one of the Lord's people, a Benjamite, one following after the law of God. Nobody could find a fault externally within me and about me. I didn't need Christ. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. They didn't do anything to the glory of the Lord. The glory was upon me, he says. The glory was upon my righteousness that I thought gave me a station and a place before God. And what in regards to what Christ was doing for me, there was no need. It's very much what Jesus said. They that are whole need not a physician. And Saul thought he was whole. He said, but the ones that need a physician, the Lord Jesus said, are those that are sick. The one that the Lord was effectual unto is the one that says, you know what, being a Benjamite doesn't help me at all before God. Being a Jew doesn't help me before God. Being a Pharisee, that just doesn't give me any place. Keeping the law perfectly in my thinking, which we know he did not, 10th commandment is always the trick. 10th commandment, and even that of the heart, tells about the soul and what's going on with the man. All those things that I would claim, they mean nothing. They are no help for the one that needs Christ. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, I take everything and I throw it away. Because you know what I want to know? I want to know Jesus. And let's stand about this word knowledge. He says here, he says the excellency, and indeed it is excellent. It's the greatest. There's nothing better as far as knowledge and understanding and wisdom is to know about and know of Christ Jesus. In regards to knowledge, you and I know, and this word know, this word knowledge, these words know and knowledge. We can know about something. You can know about changing a tire, a flat on your car by looking at the sticker inside the hood, the trunk. You've heard people have had flat tires. You know there's a provision, or at least there used to be, a provision for a flat tire to be changed there. There's instruction, there's the spare, there's the tools. You can know about having a flat and changing a tire. Or you can know what it's like to do it, to be involved with it. People can know about Christ. They can know that he exists, and they can know about folks claiming him as Savior. But there are those indeed that know the Lord Jesus Christ and him having saved them. Not by their righteousness, but by his, for their sake. Paul says, I count all these things but loss. He said, take them away from me, trade them in, give them away, make them, throw them in the ditch. He's going to tell about where he counts them. He says, what I need and what I desire and what is the only help for me is the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Not just knowing about the Lord, but knowing him as Savior. Knowing him as Redeemer, knowing about him and what he did, knowing him and what he did, that he did it for me. What is it you believe about Jesus? You believe that Jesus came some 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect life for sinners? Or do you believe that Jesus Christ came some 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect life for you? For you. For you. For me. For the individual. Do you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary for us or for you, for me? Knowledge about him. Does the Spirit of God live within you? Does the Spirit of the Lord Jesus live within you? Have you been redeemed by him? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Throw them away. They do me no good. I claim them not for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He is my Savior, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus and nothing else. He said, all these things that I claimed as a Pharisee, as an upstanding Hebrew, he said, they're but lost. They're nothing. He said, take them away from me. They do nothing for me. They get in the way of what Christ has done for me and the knowledge of Him. I need Him. He said, I do count them but dung. Refuse. I mean, tell you that's a sharp word to take all those things of His own works and count them in kind with. The Lord Jesus says in the Scriptures that we eat food, and not the food that we take in causes us to be defiled, but what comes forth from the heart. And what did He say about the eating of food? He said it goes into the belly and then it goes out into the draught. And the Apostle Paul says, I count all of my good works and all of my righteousness and all that previous pursuit, I count it as that which goes into the draught compared to Christ. I count it as the scraps that are taken from the kitchen in preparation of the meal and the food. I count it as the leftovers that go bad and are cast out into the dump, into the heap. I count it as the stuff that's out there in the waste pile. I count it all but dung. You know who's out there in the waste pile? The dogs. The dogs are out there rooting around in the dump. If you've ever had, you live in the country, sometimes those that live in the country will have like a compost pile or something like that, or a place where scraps are dumped or whatever. And you can, if there's animals in the neighborhood or in the region out there, they make a trip by and they stop by every day. He said, that's where the dogs are. They're out there chasing those old good, they think that they're good works. He said, and that's what the good works of men are like, is like what's out there at the waste pile compared to Christ. It's quite a contrast, isn't it? But I tell you what, it's a contrast that's needed. He says, yea, Dallas, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, knowing Him, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. He said, the flesh is nothing. The flesh needs to suffer loss. The flesh needs to be emptied of self. And do count all of that of the flesh, count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may have Jesus, and be found in Him, our verse, not having mine own righteousness that belongs out there on the heap, the dump heap, out there where the dogs are rooting around, not be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith, the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith in Him. Don't you find it incredible that Jesus would come and do what He did for you? I mean, just sit down, slow down, and think about it. That the King of Glory would become a man and be carried by His mother, conceived within Mary's womb, and being carried by her for 9 months until He was born a babe into this world, and that He did that for you is the only way that He could arrive to be able to give Himself on Calvary for you. It's the only way that it could be that He would have blood to shed for the remission of your sins, my sins. And He submitted Himself to growing up as a baby and a child, a boy, a young man. He submitted Himself to all that for our sakes. Penned up for 33 years. And you know what? He endured this mess as a man and didn't even have the thought of sin. He is at all points tempted like you and me, yet without sin. And that's speaking about Him being a man. He entered into temptation for our sakes. And then in the prime of His life, prime of his life. And really, there it is. God the man, the God man, giving himself over into the hands of wicked men willingly. And they're like Keystone Cops there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who are you looking for? Said Jesus of Nazareth, said, I am he. And they fall back clanging and clatter. And look at that mess. They can't even stand up against the Lord and his word. He said, I told you I'm he. Leave these alone. Let these be. And they did. They let them alone. And said, who are you seeking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Said, I've already told you I'm him. And Pilate and Herod and the railing of the Jews and the Sanhedrin there, he submitted himself to all of that. And Paul says, he and what he has done is who I need. Everything else of me, put it out there on the dung heap. And be found in him, that I may win Christ, verse 9, that and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Are you found in the Lord this morning? Mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but rather that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Again, our faith in him, and his faithfulness for our sakes. Verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Not only having sacrifice and atonement for sins, but everlasting life now and in the life to come. Jesus rose from the dead. And you know what? That's what I want too. Isn't that what you want too? Yes, to live. It's in us to live. The power that I may know him, not know about him, but know him. He, being my friend, my Savior, my Father, my elder brother, my Redeemer, kinsman Redeemer, all those things. My Messiah, my Savior, the atonement for my sins, that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, yes, that goes along with it. Because Jesus denied himself. As we mentioned earlier in this book, that's the picture, the example that we have of our Lord Jesus. He denied himself for our sakes. We need to deny ourselves for his sake. For the sake of others, to be a witness to them of good things and wonderful things in Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul's not speaking here that he's hoping that he attains to the resurrection of the dead. But he wants to be faithful to that Lord, to his Christ, to his Savior, that will raise him from the dead. He wants to be found in the middle of that, never claiming what he has done, but always looking to what Jesus has done. Where Jesus is, that's where he wants to be. What Jesus has done, that's what he wants to follow in. What Jesus has given for us to follow, that's what he wants, where he wants to be, being made conformable unto his death. To die to self. To take this of this old flesh from which we naturally think good works come from, that a man might appease God for the salvation of his soul, he said to put that down. To kill it and to let it die, that he might have Christ. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, looking towards that resurrection of our Lord. In Romans chapter 6, we have a summary that just tells about this, and I want to read it. I want to read it here. Romans chapter 6, we'll pick it up in verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's what baptism typifies, doesn't it? Because he died, he was buried. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We don't live to ourselves. That's gone. We live unto Christ. Even so, that we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for we have been planted together. Another word, talking about burial. Together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's guaranteed. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, being made conformable unto his death. We're because of Christ, we're right in there with all that Christ has done and typifies. He died that we may live. We die that we may live for him, in him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Throw it on the dung heap. All that thing of what the flesh desires and purports and puts before God, throw it away, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. What a glorious thing. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And so do we, and so will we. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, you reckon it the same way. You're dead to self. You're dead to the stuff that's out there on the dung heap, out there where the dogs root around, out there where the concision, the cutting off wants to mutilate to complete salvation. See, for the Jews that were there near the church and involved with the church, whether they were saved or not, we don't know, but they came up to Antioch and they said, all these Gentiles can only be saved unless they're circumcised. He said, they're concision. They're the mutilators. He said, stay away from that. Beware of them. They compromise and bring down. They take the gospel, as he said to the Galatians, the churches in Galatia, he said, they take the gospel of Christ and turn it into another gospel, which is not the gospel. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, knowing him, being found in him, being found in his righteousness alone. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust, the desires thereof. You're saved. Your body's still alive. But don't let sin reign in it, but rather the power of God. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, knowing the Lord Jesus, being near unto him as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For the saved, sin shall not have dominion over you. Quit the dung heap and quit all that stuff that goes out there on the dung heap. Throw it out there and know and walk and live with Christ. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace, under the wonderful good favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us life. He's given us a body. He's given us a soul. He's given us this time that he's brought us in. And he's given us the Savior who has come and has saved us, has been manifested unto us. Tell you what, our God is faithful, isn't he? Our Lord Jesus is indeed faithful. In regards to this about having no confidence in the flesh and what we see here about yet living in the flesh and to our Lord after we've been saved. Quickly, let's look here. We're close. In Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Listen to these scriptures. Verse number 18. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That is in that he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Yet turn over here to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, in the same book where we had our text from and our consideration for this morning, verse number 9, verse number chapter 4, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not the flesh. Flesh can't save, and the flesh can't live for the Lord. But the power of God and the Spirit of God within us can cause this flesh to live for the Lord. That's by Him and by His power. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not your own. Not my own. Not our own. But in Him. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. For though He was crucified through weakness. Did you know the Bible said that? For though He was crucified through weakness, yet He liveth by the power of God. Speaking of Christ. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. I tell you what, there's a verse that tells it, isn't it? In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. You know how this happens? By prayer, we go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to live for You. Lord, help me to not go forth in my own power and my own strength and in the way of the flesh, but help me to go by Your power and by Your Spirit. Brother Jim, well, I got to get up. I got to get this body up and go. Yeah, you're responsible to do it. Do it. And ask the Lord to help you to do it. And don't ever look and say, well, boy, this service of the Lord thing, you know, pick out whatever subject you want. I'm not doing too bad in that, aren't I? I'm not doing too bad there. I got that pretty well licked. I tell you what, thank the Lord for His blessings upon you. You find an element of faithfulness in your life. I tell you what, praise God that His mercy and His grace has been upon us to do so. Not comparing ourselves to anyone. To be thankful to our Lord for His power that works within us. Our Lord Jesus Christ and His faithfulness. And be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, His faithfulness. His faithfulness past, His faithfulness present, and His faithfulness to come. And indeed, isn't that the truth? He has been faithful unto us. He is faithful unto us now. And He is faithful in the future. He will bring to pass that which He has promised us. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, if you will, by faith in Him. What righteousness do you have? What righteousness do you want? I tell you what, I'm like Paul. I want the righteousness of Christ in me and dwelling in me.